Through the Red Sea, commentary for the August 9th, 2025 Sabbath School lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Exodus 14, verse 14. At times it can be hard to be still. When I consider the chronic illnesses that have kept me company throughout my days, weeks, months, and years, I just want to feel what it was like to be free of pain and fatigue. I am not alone in this. I have met others who struggle with chronic health issues also. Among them have been those who seem to do everything right, eating healthily, exercising, and avoiding the use of harmful substances like opioids and alcohol. It is a paradox that people who live self-destructive lifestyles can seem to be better off than those who are more careful. I know I'm not alone in observing this. Others who struggle with health issues have told me that they wonder about these things also. When we portray God as just and compassionate, it seems unfair, especially among those who love Him, that they should continue to suffer. In the television series, The Chosen, the question comes up repeatedly. Why did this person have to die when you raised others to life? Is a question that haunts Jesus and his followers as they travel about Galilee. In this series, one of the disciples, little James, is a cripple, so this issue is close to him. And in a private conversation with Jesus, he raises the question of his own need for healing. He decides his love for Jesus means it does not matter. But it is hard to watch him limping to Decapolis, Capernaum, and Jerusalem, trying to find the strength to keep up with the others and in obvious pain. The book of Job, ostensibly written by Moses also, tries to tackle this issue. Job is a special target of Satan, who takes everything he owns, destroys his family, and afflicts Job with a painful chronic disease. While Job continues to love God, even if God should slay him, according to Job 13, verse 15, the book raises more questions than answers. Depending on one's perspective about the story, Job is experiencing a Nietzschean strengthening by enduring suffering almost to the point of death, but nonetheless overcoming the challenge. Or the point may instead be that faithfulness comes with pain and suffering tremendously at the hands of an implacable foe. A third possibility, and the most difficult to deal with, is the idea that God would allow all sorts of damage to his followers to prove a point. Whether we shattered a toe against a chair leg in the dark of night, or we've fought a lengthy battle against metastatic cancer, these questions come to all of us who struggle with a relationship with a being who can do all things, but does not. We succor ourselves with the idea that somehow it will all be worth it, and we move forward in faith, despite the pain, just like little James. The answer from God seems to be, not yet, trust me. When the Israelites fled Egypt, they found themselves with their backs to the Red Sea and with the army of Pharaoh rushing down upon them to restore them to slavery or to take their lives. The options seemed limited. Where was the God who was to deliver them, the God who had done so many miracles of late? They especially blamed Moses for their predicament. This was to become the tenor of their relationship with Moses throughout the years to come, wandering in Sinai. Moses was over 80 at this juncture. He did not learn to have the faith he lived by overnight. The Israelites had only recently fled from slavery. They had largely forgotten God after four centuries in Egypt. Empires have risen and fallen in less time. God chose Moses to lead them because he was able to model for them what faith in God should be. Trapped against the Red Sea, they were now in a situation where only a miracle could save them. They cried out in anguish and fear, but Moses told them to have faith. God was in control, and they only needed to be still. Looking for someone like Moses to blame resolves nothing. The 23rd Psalm is one of my favorites because it so describes the Christian walk. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want," tells us that the shepherd is solicitous to the needs of each member of the flock. "He makes me to lie down beside still waters. He restores my soul." As Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest," in Matthew 11, verse 28. He created us and knows our need for rest and recovery. In the words of an engineer, "He knows our tolerances and what we can and cannot manage better than we know ourselves." The psalm continues, "He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Those who walk with God do so for his glory. Doing so will change their heart, according to Ezekiel 36:26. And those who do will find righteousness, not only in God's character, but also in theirs, as they change to emulate his image as it was in the beginning, according to Genesis 1, verse 27. The next line is significant for the Israelites as well as for us in our struggles and suffering. It reads, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me." How did we end up there? Wasn't God leading us up to this point? Could we logically conclude, therefore, that God led us into that valley? When the Red Sea parted, did it create such a valley for the Israelites? They had never experienced anything like it. Caught between the army of Pharaoh, bent on their destruction, and the churning walls of water on either side, they chose to obey Moses and follow him into that valley. They suppressed their fear and walked across, and God was indeed with them in crossing what became a valley of death for their pursuers. "He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Safely across, the Israelites watched as God removed his restraining hands holding back the forces of Pharaoh, and they chased after the children of Israel. But the wet sea bottom could not support the heavy military chariots, and the walls of water collapsed, inundating Pharaoh's host. Israel was sustained in Pharaoh's presence after passing through the baptism of the Red Sea, foreshadowing the antitypical baptism of repentance to come when Jesus and John the Baptist proclaimed the kingdom of God. Every baptism harkens back to that Red Sea deliverance, where the people moved forward in faith and found salvation and set their feet on a higher path than they had previously walked, a path that walked toward God and not away from him. "He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over." These are types pointing forward to Christ and the universal priesthood of his followers. They are symbols associated with those chosen by God for a higher purpose than they have previously known, a purpose founded on love and dedicated to compassion, empathy, righteousness, and justice. "Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Robert Frost referred to God as the Hound of Heaven, who pursues us, not as a bloodhound chases escapees, but with unremitting love and compassion, until the point is reached where we turn around, see God's character as it truly is, and ask ourselves, "Why am I fleeing this?" Once we come to that realization, dwelling in the house of the Lord forever becomes the most wonderful hope of all. The Israelites sacrificed a great deal during their 40 years wandering Sinai. An entire generation died, including Moses, without ever realizing the goal of setting foot in the promised land. But the promise was real, and Joshua led the people into Canaan, claiming the land according to the promise God made to Abraham. This is a lesson for us as we struggle with chronic illness and pain. God will yet see us through. As Jesus said, Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. John 14, verses 1 through 3. At times when I am struggling with pain, my wife reminds me of the Satan-afflicted Job because of his witness for God. She sees our present experience in the same light. This ministry has been running for over 28 years now and has a digital presence in over 120 countries. God alone has sustained it. We do not accept donations, nor do we ask for them. If a little suffering is a price for God's blessing, it is a small price to pay compared to dying on a rude cross outside Jerusalem with jeering crowds. It is ironic that some might venture to die for their faith, but find it hard to suffer for it if that is their calling. That is the lesson of little James, the disabled disciple in The Chosen. Thank you for listening to this commentary podcast. You can find the written version of this commentary, as well as hundreds more commentaries and podcasts on our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. You can also find other articles by the author, as well as links to books that he has written. Once again, that is Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.